Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues a series entitled, The Prophet Jeremiah. The 12 tribes of Israel were chosen by God to be a holy nation, set apart and free from idolatry. God loved the children of Israel, but he was not sentimental when he saw their rebellion and how they reveled in their sins. God is not mocked. His love turned to wrath, and he judged them harshly. God the Father loves humanity so much that he sent Jesus to die on the cross 2,000 years ago and pay for our sins. However, God isn't going to treat believers in Christ any different than he did with the Israelites of the past. Repentance is the only way to stop God's judgments. The idols at the time of Jeremiah were made from rocks and carved wood. In contrast, idol worship today takes place around alcohol establishments, whorehouses, internet pornography, gambling houses, etc. People perish every day, and it is necessary to preach repentance and save them from an eternity in the lake of fire. This message is entitled, Idolatry is Addictive. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And today I'm going back to the prophet Jeremiah. I'm determined to finish the book of Jeremiah and lay down a track record that will be there for time to come. And I want to share a few things with you here as we are looking into the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah lived at a time when Israel, actually Judah, had started to sin and they were backsliding. Jeremiah never saw anything good. I want you to think about that. Jeremiah had seen, actually he had not seen it, but he knew about the 10 northern tribes about 200 years before his time were destroyed, taken into captivity, and the land was lost. He was to see the people in Judah carried into Babylon in captivity, temple destroyed, Jerusalem ravaged, and he was spared, but he had warned, he had pleaded for 25, 30 years, repent, repent, repent. God wants to save this nation. And the kings, the nobles, the politicians simply said, shut that man up. Put him in a dungeon. Get him away. We don't want to hear it. And this is the situation is today. The last 3 months, Just about every day, the secular news has started out flooding. People have all kind of problems, tornadoes. This morning, more tornadoes, more flooding. And guess what? California is burning again. Big fire, Lake County. Number of homes went up to smoke during the night. People again have to evacuate. More homes are threatened. When is Governor Brown going to wake up? He does have a Catholic background. When is he going to wake up and realize we can't throw money at this? This is beyond us. God is speaking to America. This week we have seen the thing that happened at the border was not happening, just, it was well organized. And when in the world do you have people, I can't understand Americans, going down to the border, protesting that we are protecting our country, and wanting to open everything up for destruction. More drugs, more criminals, more drag on our economy, hospital care, Medicare, and so on. It's insanity. And then saying, but, you know, we can't have those children. Well, who brought the children in? Did President Trump go down and have children brought in? The cartel in Mexico? The people are smart. They're using the children. And you got the bleeding heart Democrats crying out, you know, oh, the children. But where are they when children are murdered at the abortion clinics? When you have partial birth, when the law says you can kill a baby as long as it is inside. And what I do with partial abortion, 8 months, 7 months, up to 9 months, they let the baby come out, hold it, just a foot is inside, and then they slice the throat and kill that baby right there. Where are the bleeding Democrats? I get so hopping mad when I hear them. So anyway, this is a little monologue here to get started, but recounting the past. As we study the book of Jeremiah, we must examine every word to find what God said in the past, how it correlates during our time on earth, and what God wants us to learn from it. Since 1969, I've been involved in deliverance ministry. And deliverance ministry is not just to cast out demons. It's a lifestyle change. I've had pastors come to us, deacons, elders, Sunday school teachers. I've had all kind of people come. They've been serving the Lord a long time, and yet they're bound by demonic powers. And as we sit down with them, and we simply say, now, salvation is by grace. We don't work for that. It's a gift that is given to us by God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But we are told to walk in holiness. We are told to obey God's commandments. You should not steal. You should not commit adultery. You should not commit idolatry. There's a number of things that God simply said, I do not want you to do them. So I always tell people this because people are dense. I say this, and it's just generic. So this man is sitting in our room we are doing deliverance. And I ask him this, would you mind if your wife get a phone call and it's an ex-husband that calls her and said, hey, you know, I got to change your heart. You know, we really should be friends. I know you're married to somebody else right now, so you know that's over. But I'd like to take you out to dinner. I'd like to spend a night with you, look into your eyes again, you know, holding hands and just for good old times. So I asked the husband, would you be happy with that? Of course not. Why not? I don't want to share my wife. Really? I thought, you know, if you have it most of the time, you know, you can share it with, you know, a couple of kisses here and there, holding hands, you know. What's the big deal? I don't want to share my wife. I said, good. Do you know, sir, that you are married to Jesus? Wow. I said, he's the groom. You're the bride. And you go out and you kiss the devil. You go out and have a fling with demons. And you think, you know, well, Jesus, you know, oh, it's all love and this and that, you know. God is a jealous God. This is the problem in almost all deliverances. People commit spiritual adultery. Do not realize it. And Simpson says, well, you know, I do a lot of praying. I read the Bible. I'm witnessing. I do all these things. And I said, but you are still out committing spiritual adultery. They hang their heads there. I said, now, if you have that strong feeling about your wife or your husband, why don't you begin to think about Jesus and your relationship with him? Amen. And I usually tell them this. You don't want to share your wife? You don't want to share your husband? Treat Jesus the same way as you do your spouse. If you're faithful to your spouse, be faithful to Jesus. Shut your mouth and line up with the Word of God. This is what Jeremiah had to say. Now, a lot of pastors have been taught, you know, the Old Testament is not relevant. But the Bible says Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. Matter of fact, we go in Hebrews. This is a little verse here to flip up to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. What he told Israel 2,500 years ago still holds today. He hasn't changed. He's still saying the same thing. The people of Judah were severely judged, even though they were God's chosen people, which is selected to be his servants. We need to read Jeremiah's word with fear and trembling in order to make sure we know what God's will is for our lives. And I want to stress that every book in the Bible is important. And if you read them all, we can be victorious with our life on earth. Not one book in the Bible is unimportant. Remember, God is not sentimental and will judge his people to the point of physical death. Therefore, let us take heed of the warning Paul gives us. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 26. This is written to believers, not unbelievers. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for our judgment and fire indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. What does it mean to sin willfully? To sin willfully means premeditated. In our court system in the United States, we have manslaughter, we have murder. Murder is premeditated, carries a heavier sentence. If you killed somebody, you didn't premeditate, you got mad, road rage, whatever it is, it's still as bad, it's called manslaughter. But the sentence is lighter than premeditated. If I need some money, and I simply said this, well, I'm going to go down and mug some old lady, get her purse. You want to hit the soft target, right? You don't want to hit somebody that can shoot back at you. You hit an old lady. So I'm going to get maybe, you know, a couple of $100. And after I got a purse, you know, I emptied it out, you know, and I kicked her over to the side. I'm going to go home, and then I'm going to repent and ask God to forgive me for robbing this old lady. That's premeditated, willfully sinning. You know what God's going to say? Hey, that's premeditated. That you will pay for yourself at the judgment seat of Christ. I'm not going to forgive you for that. You're going to make payments. A lot of Christians have not understood that. Most of us sin, you know, we don't think about it. We don't premeditate it. But there are a number of people that premeditate. And listen to what God said. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy to two or three witnesses. of how much sore punishment, suppose you should he be thought worthy, who had trodden the foot the Son of God, had counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, unholy thing, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongs unto me. I will recompense, says the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people, not unbelievers, his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Someday, you and I are going to meet the people from northern Israel. They got thrown out of the land. We're going to meet the Jews that were in Jerusalem when they got thrown out and ended up in Babylon. And I'm sure, you know, I like to go up to some of these Jews and simply said, you know, why were you so stupid? I mean, you know, hey, you were God's chosen people. You had a temple here. You had a prophet speaking to you. You had the word of God. Why did you get involved in idolatry? All the heathen holidays. And you know, what are they going to tell us? They're going to say, you know, we were stupid, dumb, dense, idiots. Well, you know, you get smart after you are judged, after it is over. Oh, yes, we get so smart. But why can't we begin to repent today? Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir today, because most of you that are watching right now, you're saved, you're walking with the Lord, you're doing what God wants you to do. But I want you to understand, this is the message I'm giving you today. You need to bring that into your community. You need to share that with other people, that we need to repent. If you turn to John chapter 14, verse number 15, that's the Gospel of John. It's a very well-known verse, 14:15. And it's a very simple verse. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He is a groom with a bride. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Be faithful. Now, I asked men and women by deliverance, I said, now, does somebody hold a gun to your head and say, love your wife? Or does somebody hold a gun to you head and say, love your husband. Don't commit adultery. Don't do this and that. And of course, people said, no, there's no one holding a gun. Well, why in the world are you faithful then to your spouse? Well, I love them. I love my spouse. Really? So you mean because you love, you're faithful? What about Jesus? Do you love Jesus? You should be faithful then, right? If you can be faithful in the flesh, what's wrong with us being faithful in the spirit? Amen. If you love me, keep my commandments. In Jeremiah 2:20, God said this, for of old time have I broken your yoke, burst your bands, and you said, I will not transgress. When upon every high hill and every green tree, you wanderers, playing the harlot. As we already told before in the service here today, we had a deliverance this week. And I want to share something with you that the Holy Spirit laid upon my heart. Let me talk to you about Christmas. Christmas is not a Christian holiday. It's a pagan holiday. You don't find Christmas in the New Testament. It's not there. Jesus never said, celebrate my birthday. You know why? He doesn't have one. Jesus has always existed. He's God. He doesn't have a birthday. His body had a birthday. Mary gave his body of flesh and bones. But Jesus doesn't have a birthday. For 300 years, the Apostolic Church did not celebrate Christmas. But later, as the church decided that you don't have to be born again, we got the Roman Catholic Church, and everybody that were citizens in Rome became Christians. When they had a march under a bridge, two towers and a bridge, and they would stand there and throw holy water on them, that's how they got them sprinkled and saved. The leadership of the church said this: the people are into idolatry. They have the Christmas, they had the Easter, they had all kind of different things. What do we do? And the head of the Roman Catholic Church said, we will never get the idolatry out of them, so let's Christianize it. Take out the name Tammuz, put in Jesus. On Easter, take out Tammuz, resurrected, put in Jesus, sprinkle him with a little bit of Easter egg hunts, at rabbit, for your Christmas, we have all the other different things that we add to it. And you got a pagan holiday. Totally pagan. Now, so you participate in that, you're born again, and now you're committing spiritual adultery. So, this particular person this week, he said, well, you know, I really can't give up Christmas. You know what I mean? It's ingrained in us. My mother, you know, a lot of sentimentality. I said, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to send you home today. I said, I'm going to break it off. Matter of fact, I got the wife in. I said, now you two are going to have to agree on this. We got a book, The Truth About Christmas. I said, now, you go home and you read this. I do not want you to say, I give up Christmas because you want to get rid of the pain and the demons. I said, I want you to get out of idolatry because you love Jesus. So go home and study it. Make up your mind. Do you want to be in idolatry? I said, call us. We won't call you. You call us. We got a call at night. We agree. We repent. We're going to make a bonfire. We're going to burn all the stuff, expensive stuff. I said, okay, come on in. And we were able to continue. Let me take another Judges, chapter 2. Judges, the second chapter. And I want to pick it up from verse number 7. Judges, and we're going to start at verse number 7. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. That generation served God. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance, in Timnath-Heres, in the mouth of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered to their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they served Baalim. Now, here's what's interesting. The third generation. During the Civil War, America turned back to God. It was a horrible time. Men were killed on both sides. Many families had a dead father, a dead son, or a brother. And we had revival times at that time. That generation passed. Another generation came up. And now we had World War II. Another terrible time. Destruction. People sought the Lord. World War II came. And during World War II, churches in America were packed because 12 million men and women were in the armed services. 12 million. Just about every family had someone, either in the Pacific or in Europe. And the losses were humongous. They could lose 2,000-3,000 men a day. And the decision was made. We don't want to bring those dead bodies back to the United States. It would traumatize the nation. That's why they built cemeteries in Europe, other places. You've seen them. The white crosses. They died there. They buried them there. Churches were full. The generation that was called the baby boomers, they started rock and roll, drugs, alcohol, free love, destruction. And the third generation has made a destruction of the United States. Whose fault is it? The generation that raised us, that did not instruct us what we should do. Despite the ignorance of the people in Judah, or Israel, God judged them. Look at verse 14 and 15. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. He delivered them to the hands of spoilers. They spoiled them. He sold them into the hands of the enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before the enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil. And the Lord has said, as the Lord has sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. Pain. Look upon the flooding in the United States today. Look upon the tornadoes. Look how many cars have been destroyed. Look at the homes that have been destroyed. If you've ever been in a house but you had a flood, you got to throw out all the carpets, all the furniture. You got to rip out all the sheetrock. You got to strip it. You lose it all. Those people are moaning and groaning. But those people that are not affected, they still sin and say, oh, you know, let's just have a good time. We need to realize all of us need to come closer to God and begin to repent. Verse 16. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. God raised up Donald Trump. God raised up Ronald Reagan. For a while, things would turn around. But did we learn anything? Are we going to learn something now? Have you understood that President Trump is trying to take out abortion? They're trying to take away the money from them. They're trying to do the best they can to slow it down. We should be praising God for that. There's a lot of things that he's trying to do. As a punishment, God did not drive out the heathen from the land. Verse 20 to 23 in the same chapter. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he said, because that this people had transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, have not hearkened unto my voice, I also will not henceforth drive out any from among them of the nations which Joshua left when he died. That through them I may prove Israel, whether they will keep the way of the Lord, to walk therein, as the Father did keep it or not. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, and he delivered them into the hand of Joshua. What have we got in America today? We got a lot of Buddhists. Chinese, Japanese brought in Buddhism. And there's a lot of Americans who embrace Buddhism. We brought in the Muslims. And they're building their mosques. And today, Islam has invaded us. We got the people from South America. They're bringing in the Roman Catholic Church. They're very devout Catholics, praying to Mary all the time, lighting the candles. That's why the Catholic Church likes them so much, because there's new members. They're coming in, polluting us. Pornography. Everything is polluting. And God is simply saying, this is part of the judgment. Let's go back to Jeremiah 2:21. That's Jeremiah 2:21. Let's go through a few verses here. Yet I had planted you a noble vine, wholly a right seed. How then are you turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? God brought in the pilgrims, the Puritans. Eventually, God gave us a constitution that no nation on this earth has, nor ever will have. A constitution where it stated that all men are created equal before God. There's no Caesar, no kings. We all equal before God. No other nation has that. And yet, we are not accepting, we are not cherishing what we had. We must repent as a people. In verse number 22, God said here, for though you wash yourself with nitre, and nitre was a kind of a soap, it was sold in carbonate, and take you much soap, yet your iniquity is marked before me, says the Lord God. There's no people in the world like the Americans. Shower every day. We use soap, shampoos. I mean, we are clean people. Outside. But filthy on the inside. For do you wash with nitre? And take your much soap? Yet your iniquity is marked before me, says the Lord. God wants us to repent. And to seek him. Verse 23. How can you say I am not polluted? I have not gone after Balaam. See you the way in the valley. Know what you have done. You are a swift dromedary traversing her ways. A camel could travel and travel and travel. Let's just look upon some of the average sins that we have in this country. I told you about the pagan holidays. Christmas. We have Valentine's Day. We do Lent. We do the Easter stuff. We got the Halloween. And then we start over again. We do a lot of other things. Look at all the television programs you watch. Ungodly television. Gambling. All the things we do. And we say, well, you know, we haven't sinned. We are committing spiritual adultery day in and day out. And we don't recognize it. Because we don't understand what it is. In verse 24, a wild ass used to the wilderness that snuffing up the wind of the pleasure. Well, she's in heat. In her occasion, who can turn her away? All they seek her will not worry themselves. In her month, they shall find her. They had donkeys in those days. If you had a female donkey, and she got in heat, forget about riding her. Forget about hooking her up to pull a wagon. She would not negotiate with you. She would kick, bite. She simply said, hey, I need to go out. I need to find a male donkey. I need to be satisfied. And that is how many people are. They simply are like a wild donkey in heat. Without your foot from being unshod, verse 25, and your throat from thirst. But you said there's no hope, nor for I love strangers, and after them will I go. As the thief is ashamed when he's found, so is the house of Israel ashamed. They, their kings, their princes, their priests, and their prophets. I just read this week a proclamation by the Chinese government. I don't know if you see that or not. Of course, the fake media will not announce that. But President Xi, actually, he's a dictator, made the announcement that China is now going to take control in the world. They want to dominate the World Bank. They want to dominate all the different agencies. And they simply said, we in China need to take more control of the world and steer it in the way we want to go, in a socialistic way. Well, they got some money. They got the manpower. And they simply want to do that. That is a part of a judgment. Are we going to understand that? Verse 27. Saying to a stock, that is an idol, a wood idol, you are my father, and to a stone you have brought me forth. For they have turned their back unto me, and not their face, but in time of the trouble. They will say, arise and save us. They made themselves gods. Well, we have gods today. When we get troubled, we drink. We take a drug. We see the shrink. Psychologist. We travel. We go shopping. But where are your gods that you have made him? Let them arise that they can save you in a time of your trouble. For according to the number of your cities are the gods of Judah. They had many. Wherefore you prayed with me. You all have transgressed against me, says the Lord. In vain have I smitten your children. They received no correction. Your own sword had devoured your prophet like a destroying lion. Thousands of people on a daily basis commit suicide in America. And we don't read about it because they're not famous. The famous commit suicide, we hear about it. Not destruction. In vain, God said, have I smitten your children. They received no correction. Your own sword had devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. O generation, see you the word of the Lord. Have I been a wilderness unto Israel, a land of darkness? Wherefore say my people, we are lords. We will come no more unto you. God said, what have I done to you? I have blessed you, given you a nation, prosper you. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that picture? Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. They have forgotten. We don't think about God anymore. And then, in verse number 33, we read this. Why trimmest you your way to seek love? Some of you have read the word trimmest, and you know, I did not know what it meant, but I got a Webster's dictionary. So I looked it up, and it means to premeditate. Why do you premeditate your ways to seek love? Therefore have you also taught the wicked ones your ways. Also in your skirt is found the blood of souls of the poor, innocent. I have not found in it by secret search, but upon all these. Yet you say it, because I'm innocent. Surely his anger shall turn from me. Behold, I will plead with you, because you say that I have not sinned. Why? do you gather about? Much to change your way. What do you talk about it? You also shall be ashamed of Egypt, as you are ashamed of Assyria. Yea, you shall go forth from him, and your hands upon your head, and the Lord has rejected your confidence, and you should not prosper in them. Jeremiah spoke these words to a generation 2,600 years ago. They heard it. They rejected it. And they said, we know better. They had a good time in Judah at that time. They were prospering. They ate good. They lived good. And they thought, you know, this will continue. But God said, I will start my judgment. If you today don't live here in California, drive down to Lake County, it's Clear Lake. It's a lake called Clear Lake. And I can tell you there's a whole bunch of people in shelters. And they're wringing their hands right now. Because they don't know if their homes burned or did not burn. And if you have a wildfire like that, your house burned down. I mean, you lose everything. Your clothing, records, furniture, everything. All you got is what you have on you. And you go to the Red Cross. Go and ask them. Are you concerned? Have you talked to the Lord? Should we repent? Is God speaking to us? In disaster, people are always thinking about God. Now, in your outline here, I wrote this here, worshiping a stone. I want you to turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 32. There's Deuteronomy chapter number 32. And then we're going to look it up in verses 16 through 17. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods which they knew not. To new gods they came newly up, when your fathers feared not. What makes a man to pick up a stone, declare it to be his God, and bow before it? Why does a man carve out the figure from wood and call it a God? Were the men really that stupid at the time of Jeremiah to believe in such nonsense? They were not stupid. They were simply spiritually blinded. They were blinded to believe these lies. Of the rock that beget you, you are unmindful and have forgotten that God had formed you. If we turn now to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to pick it up. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 19. What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils, not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partaker of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Go by the different gambling casinos we have in the country now. We have some huge one here in the Sacramento area. They had to build a second parking lot. I never been there. I never will go there. But when you drive by there, you can see one parking lot, at least 2,000 cars. Another one, another couple of thousand cars. All the time, day or night. When do these people work? Why do they gamble? What brings them in knowing that you never win at a casino or a gambling joint? You always lose. You might win one time, but in the long run, you lose. Demons evil spirits. Why does an alcoholic pick that drink up? He knows it's going to hurt him. He knows he's going to feel bad tomorrow. And yet he will pick that up and put that water, that fire water, into his mouth and drink it. Why does he do that? Because there's an evil spirit behind it. Why do you pick up the cigarette or the marijuana? Why do you pick up the drugs? Because behind it are evil spirits that have blinded you. Why are you into idolatry? Why are you hooked on pornography? You know that you should not go there and look upon it on your computer. And you repent and go, God help me, I don't want to do it. And you're back there again, you're sucked into it. And then you masturbate and then you feel bad. Evil spirits. There's only one way to break it. And that is, you got to repent. You got to turn and move from your wicked ways. We laugh at the Israelites, stone gods, wood gods. Well, we got more sophisticated gods today. And these gods that we have today, they destroy your health. They take away your money. They take away your joy. And they will put you in an early grave. And you says, when are we going to have fun? You know, the Roman Catholics have a number of saints, quote unquote. And one of them is Saint Joseph. And the Catholics have been taught this, that if you have a house, you want to sell a house, you go and buy a plastic copy of Saint Joseph. And you go to your house on your property, and you dig a hole, and you put Joseph down, head down and feet up, and cover him up, and watch your house sell very quickly. That's what Roman Catholics do, number of them. I didn't know that St. Joseph was in real estate, but apparently he is. But he only worked with his head foot down and foot up. People believe that. People have little trinkets hanging from their rearview mirrors. In the cars. St. Christopher. Oh, he's going to protect me from having a wreck. Yeah. A glass god. Stone god. Idolatry is addictive. Let me wrap this up. Gamblers lose money, but they keep going back to the gambling tables. The alcohol will sacrifice his kidneys, liver, and family in order to get another drink. The drug addict would steal and kill in order to get a fix. The family man, pastors, and other Christian leaders are willing to trade their integrity, jobs, and family to satisfy their craving for pornography. The rapist, child molester, does not care if he's caught as long as he can get one more act to satisfy his addiction. People would spend hours doing yoga as their god. This list is not exhaustive, and it can go on and on. My closing scripture, Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. If you pick it up in verse number 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instrument of unrighteousness unto sin. But yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instrument of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. I used to drink. I used to smoke. I used to chase. I was into pornography. I was into the whole nine yards where people are in. But I'm free from that today. have been free for many years. And the reason is, I made a choice. I came to Christ. I began to read His Word. And I wanted to satisfy Jesus. He's my husband. I'm the bride. We're going to go to the marriage feast of the Lamb someday. I don't want to commit spiritual adultery. I want to stay clean. And you know, it is wonderful to wake up without a hangover. It's wonderful to have clear lungs. It's wonderful to not have all the garbage. Now, look at the next verse. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves slaves to obey, his slaves, actually servants to obey, his servant you are to whom you obey, whether sin unto death or obedience to righteousness. In the older days, in the King James language, a servant and a slave was the same. The Greek word here in verse number 16 is slave, doulos. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves slaves to obey, his slaves you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Who do you worship? This might not be the ice cream message today or dessert message. It's a serious one. The people in this country are hurting. God is judging our nation. I would shudder when I think about earthquake in California. If we have a major earthquake in the Bay Area and in Los Angeles, we're going to have an influx of people coming up like ants, looking for food, places to live. And they're not going to be nice. They're going to demand, give me this and give me that. Right now, we're living good, folks. Your refrigerator is full. Got a car to drive. Got clothes on your back. Your bed to sleep in. Job to go to. We've got all the things. So what we need to do now is this. We need to say, God, as a nation, we have sinned. As a nation, we have sinned. Let's identify with America today and say, Father God, forgive us. Help us to repent. Help us Christians to go out and to share the gospel, to talk to people that they need Jesus. We need to get people saved. We need to call pastors. We don't have the yellow pages anymore. But you can go on the internet and look up pastors in your area. Call a pastor up and say, Pastor, I want to ask you a question. What do you think about all the disasters that are happening in America? Do you think it's possible this is the judgment of God? Pastor, what do you think? Would you be willing to preach to your congregation? Repentance? Can you imagine if all of you watching me today would start calling pastors this afternoon and simply everywhere telling them, you know, are you willing to look what's happening around you? Think what will happen if thousands upon thousands of pastors would begin to call up for repentance. Television evangelists, people on radio would begin to call out and we would have a move of God. That's the purpose of the message today. That was the purpose of Jeremiah. That's what he called out to Judah. Please, Judah, come to God. And Judah said, forget it, Jeremiah. We're doing our thing. And they went into destruction. Are you and I going to repeat what Judah did as a nation? Are we going to repent and say, God, forgive us? If you watch me today and listen to me, and you are not saved, and you say, you know, I'm a sinful man, I've done a lot of things, you can repent today. Right now you can repent. You can say, God, forgive me my sins. Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross. I need to be saved. Forgive me, Lord. Come on in, Jesus, save me. And Jesus will. And like I say every Sunday, as soon as we finish here, we would have Charles Durant come. You would hear him, but not see him. And he would take you through the Word of God. He will show you the Scriptures. He will pray with you and lead you in a prayer so you will know that you are saved. Please accept Christ today if God convicts you of your sins. And to those of you that are saved, I want to thank you faithfully. You're supplying this ministry with finances. And I really appreciate that. You're keeping us rolling financially. But I also want to reach out to you and ask you this. How do you live? Are you struggling with demons in your life? Are you struggling with some addictions? Do you have needs? You like this ministry, but you have needs. Do yourself a favor. Call the minister today. Write an email and say, have somebody call me. Somebody talk to me. I need help. And we will have people from this ministry call you. They will pray with you. We will minister to you. If you live in the greater Sacramento area, come and see us in person. And remember this, God loves you so much he gave his only begotten son to die for our sins. And right now God says, I love America. I want to save America. Would you partner with me and repent and share the message? May God bless you as you move on for Jesus Christ. Here's Brother Thomas.
Father God, thank you for a good day today. We decided to come to church. We decided to tune in and listen. There's a lot of idols out there that could draw you away today. But many made a conscious decision to do what's better for them and for their soul. We thank you for the word, Lord, that continues to be a guiding light to us and teach us. And we have to be reminded of the state of man and the weakness of man. We thank you, Father God, for strength for the believer to do the right thing and to move forward in God's kingdom. And we lift up the United States of America to you also, Lord. It is the beacon for the world. But at the same time, it's a bowl full of abominations. So we thank you, Father, for repentance for the people in America. I believe the pastor was right when he said many of them have no understanding. The Christians have no understanding of where they are. We thank you for our many blessings, Lord. We thank you for this nice sunny weather. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you'll die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now, you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are. You've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7-8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood, so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the seventh part in the series, The Prophet Jeremiah, and was entitled, Idolatry is Addictive. Most Christians simply view the Old Testament as ancient history that has no bearing on the world today. Yet sin is still the same. The only difference is the level of technology 2,500 years later.
The 12 tribes of Israel were chosen by God to be a holy nation, set apart and free from idolatry. God loved the Israelites, but he was not sentimental about their rebellion and how they reveled in sin. God is not mocked, and as a result, his love turned to wrath and he judged them harshly. It was because of love that God the Father sent Jesus to die on the cross 2,000 years ago and pay for our sins. God won't treat believers in Christ any different than he did with the Israelites of the past. Repentance is the only way to stop God's judgments. The idols at the time of Jeremiah were made from rocks and carved wood. Idol worship today, however, takes place around alcohol establishments, whorehouses, internet pornography, gambling casinos, etc. Evil spirits blind people spiritually, and humanity is perishing as a result. It is crucial to preach repentance and rescue those around you from an eternity in the lake of fire. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1657. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.